Bad Seed Podcast, episode 40.
40.
That is 10 times 4.
Nice.
Yeah.
You fucking nailed that.
Yeah. It's funny because it's true. I try a lot with math. And honestly, if you just act confident, which, you know, in high school or whatever, you can't really do that on paper.
Right.
If you act like, what is that? Like, how do you fake wrong answers? Like you can't be confident in wrong answers on paper. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. You know, math's like anything else. It's hard to fake.
But I was fucking my teacher.
Oh, well.
I was kidding. No, that was not.
You know, one plus one equals.
No, he was 80.
Yeah.
If he was 10 years younger.
10 years younger. The 70s the cutoff for you?
Yeah, I think so.
For teachers?
I think so.
That's fair enough.
What is a sugar daddy cutoff and becomes a sugar papa?
Sugar granddaddy?
Sugar pop.
I think probably, I don't know if there is a cutoff. I think you're...
Sugar daddy is just like all around. Like that, yeah. That's just like the term.
All right. I like Splendid Daddy, which are guys who act like they got a lot of money to try to get a...
Oh, I was going to say if it was a big girl.
I recently was watching... Oh, Splendid Daddy. Oh, God.
Like a diabetic girl. Diabetic. As a Splendid Daddy.
I was watching Marrying Millions, a show on Hulu.
I watched all of it.
Yeah, I didn't finish it, but it's pretty outstanding.
It ends the exact way you think it ends.
Right.
There wasn't... I know exactly who you're talking about, Splendid Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far did you get into that, by the way?
Well, there was the scene that I'm talking about is he takes his girl...
Oh, to the place?
To the jewelry store.
Dude.
So he had given her this bracelet, like a tennis diamond tennis bracelet or something.
This, by the way, this guy is like a recording artist, producer type, and claims to be a millionaire, but there's cameras in front of him.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend is doing these like one-on-one with like the cameraman talking about how she thinks he's not a millionaire.
Right.
So this whole dynamic is fucked up.
Right. I mean, she was suspicious from the start, it seemed like. But so they go into this jewelry store because she was like, I want to get engaged. And he was like, well, that's not going to happen, but I'll take her to go look at rings.
Right.
And be like, you know, pick one out for when we do get engaged. So I know what you like. And
he like caught her off guard with it because it was, you know, like weeks or months or however long before when they talked about it.
Right.
And then this dude goes in there and he got her a bracelet.
Yeah. He had bought her a bracelet.
And he was going to get it sized.
Yeah. They needed it resized.
And then while they were in there, he was picking out an engagement ring.
Yeah.
And then what was it?
So they're at the counter and he's like, oh, while we're here, why don't, you know, show her your bracelet and see if they can resize it. And the lady's looking at it through the like little jeweler's eye, and she's like, okay. She's like, you know, this is CZ, right?
Yeah.
Like cubic zirconium.
It's like, she said it's like max $60.
Yeah. And he starts freaking out, and he's like out front yelling at the producer, like,
yo, and they're like 7 episodes deep with them, and he cuts it off.
Yeah. He's like, no more.
It's pretty good. That whole show, I hated to watch it, but I couldn't stop watching it.
Oh, dude. I love reality TV. I really do.
I love watching reality TV with somebody that just loves it and didn't go to, like, you know, production school or anything.
Right.
And then just, like, explain. Like when you see, like, when you're watching, like, Rock of Love or something and they're crying on their interviews.
Right.
About something that's obviously not happening right now. It's either already happened or... they're crying for no reason before it happened.
Yeah. It's a weird... the talking heads in reality shows are so fucking bizarre because it's not like an actual interview because they're not talking like human beings. And some of them we watched... what was the one we watched the other night?
Oh, Daisy of Love.
Daisy of Love.
There was no holdbacks there.
And she is a terrible actress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is really, you know, acting.
All right, if you know. We went off on this.
Oh yeah.
If if any of you know who Daisy from Daisy of Love is, just so you know, we don't either.
Right. I was not aware that she was a person until I watched that show.
Like she was just there and had 20 dudes. Like I don't know, it was like a frat bar in South End.
No, it was rough.
But for 4 weeks straight,
a lot of dudes wearing mascara.
A lot of dudes yelling P's and F's, and
there's a guy who had 3 tattoos. One of them was the scratch mark across his eye.
Oh, that guy.
And a second one was fight or die on his throat.
And he cried a lot.
Yeah, he cried a lot for a guy with fight or die tattooed on his throat. Yeah,
well, that's probably what he was fighting for.
Right. it was supposed to say fight or cry. They fucked it up on the day.
Right, yeah. He misheard him. He was on Xanax and acting tough. And they're like, no, I'm good. And the fucking dude was like, yeah, well, I'm changing it.
And it gets to a point where like he does get into a fight in the house. And then Daisy's like talking to him about it. And she's like, do you think you can be here and not fight? And he's literally got fight or die tattooed on his throat.
Like, I don't know. It's in my blood. Yeah. That's all I fucking like to do. I love to fucking fight. That's all I fucking like.
I was born to fight.
Anyways, I don't know how we got there.
I don't know. Did we just do 10 minutes on?
We did.
That was a long
welcome time. Welcome to episode 40 of the Bad Seed Podcast.
Yeah.
Elliot, how are you?
I'm great. Still in quarantine?
We are. We're in this tiny room.
Yeah,
compared to the room your bed's in.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a little bigger.
This room is bigger.
No, my room's a little bit bigger. Okay. I don't want to brag, but it's a little bit bigger. There's a closet in it. So
Elian. So Elliot's pushing 12 by 14 in a room.
I think it's 14-14.
Oh.
Is my room.
Oh. Hit him up, y'all.
Yeah, I got a lot of room.
I got a lot of room.
End of sentence.
End of sentence. And an empty belly.
Yeah.
And a full set of balls.
Okay. Oh, that's the one.
All right. So episode 40.
Yeah, here we are. Who would have thought?
Who
would have thought?
This episode, I wanted to touch on something that... All right, let's put it like this. Where's the last place you want to go after you're drunk?
Home.
Okay. you can take that either way.
Sorry, give it to me again.
All right. Where's the last place you want to wake up from after being blackout drunk?
Home.
Okay. All right.
One more time. I think I know what you're getting at now. Right. So just give it to me in a slightly different way, and I'll...
Do you like honey buns?
Prison.
Okay. Yes. This episode, we're talking about prison.
Yeah.
And just the institution itself. Elliot, what do you know about prison itself?
Well, I don't have any practical experience with prison. I wouldn't say I've stayed out of trouble, but I've never been in any sort of, you know, hot water.
Right.
With the law.
Which, by prison, I'm also talking, you know, county jail also sucks. And some people can be in there for years before they even, people in county jail wish to be in prison.
Right.
Because it's better than county jail.
Yeah.
You know? So this is about all of that. I've researched some stories from inmates that's either have shared stories that are still in or have been released from prison, and they have shared the most ridiculous shit that they could think of that they've seen, which is fucking crazy. To some of the stuff that I found out, like I thought I was stupid.
Right. Those are always the stories that get you, where you're like, hold on.
I thought the opposite. I thought I was smart. And they're like, wow, these guys are... Like, our room, where we're at right now is 12-12, I guess. What we just said.
Yeah.
They're sitting way smaller than that for 23 hours a day, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, max that. Sometimes, you know, they get more than that.
Right.
So they got time to think about stuff.
Yeah, that seems Like, that would be the part I struggle with.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because the other day, I forgot who, I saw a post online that was like, I feel like a prisoner or something like that.
Oh, right. With
all this and like the stay at home laws, and
social distancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually thought about it and I was like, no, we're good.
This isn't close to that. Not, like, you are still free.
Like, very free.
Yeah.
You can go jogging.
Right. And I think we'll illustrate in this episode how far away we are from being prisoners right now.
Yeah, we're extremely far from it. Do you know anybody that's doing time?
Right now?
Yeah. Or has?
I know people who have done time.
Okay.
I work in kitchens, so...
There you go.
like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right. So... But,
well, we should look up that statistic.
Oh, I wish that was that would be a great statistic to know.
Yeah, if you went into a database immediately applying for a kitchen job, like, yeah, you get the right job. Your information goes into this fucking database of, like, yeah, you were incarcerated.
Yeah, like, if it was funny because that's like a, you know, kitchen stereotype. I guess, in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not an uncommon thing, but it's kind of a stereotype for a reason. You know, it is pretty common in kitchens that people have done time.
Oh, yeah. And then some people can play it off, and then you just, like, are talking, and they end up telling you accidentally.
Right.
Which is the craziest one.
And the people who did real time, they don't tell you that they were in prison. Somebody else tells you, like, oh, yeah, they did, you know.
Yeah,
the guys who tell you, yeah, I was in. No, they're probably exaggerating,
right?
Whatever they tell you about it. Do you know anyone locked up right now?
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. have you ever heard of family?
Yeah,
yeah, they're all there.
Mm, yeah,
all but the old one.
Well, yeah.
A bunch of friends from high school are doing it. All the cool kids are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Some went off the rails, you know, in this county that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, you know, not so much. And they just got fucking wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens a lot. And it's stupid.
Well, yeah.
But who are you going to fight? Especially if you ain't get the money.
Yeah. And that's what literally this whole thing, prison. And the problem with prisons in America, it all comes down to money.
Right.
And
if OJ didn't have money.
Oh, boy.
If OJ did not have money, it would have been immediate.
Right.
You know? Like, yeah. If OJ had a public defender.
Oh, boy.
Immediate.
Yeah.
Incarceration.
But that trial would just make you hate everybody.
If Bill Cosby had a public defender, he would still almost be dead when he got caught.
Yeah, well, you know, Cosby's, hopefully he's going to die in prison. I hope so.
There's no way on this green heavenly earth or whatever that he can't.
Right.
Like, you think the judge was like, dude, like if he only sentenced him to like 28 years in prison, you know what I mean? Like
anything over three and he might die in prison. He's probably going
to
die in prison.
I don't know exactly how much he got, but like really, realistically, if he was to get a 10-year sentence
right,
and do 70% of it, there's still a hard chance that he's going to die in prison.
Real big chance.
Because you're old, you stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid people ain't old.
Is it smart people stay young?
Yeah. Well, it's like peanut butter.
Right. But so... I mean, I guess the point is we both are acquainted with people who have been in and out or just right, in
no,
and then out.
No, everybody knows somebody yeah. down a line that's it's happening to or happened right. to or you just met somebody that, you know, you're not that close to them, but you know somebody that has been incarcerated.
Right.
Realistically, I don't know what statistics you have. Did you look up anything about like how... I mean, yeah, of course, like, once somebody's incarcerated, cases are closed.
Right.
Until somebody brings it back up. But also, anyone that usually gets brought back up, brought back to light.
Yeah.
like some shit happens and they make a goddamn Netflix documentary about it.
Oh yeah. Well, so are you talking about what, in what sense are you talking about?
As in like
if someone's acquitted
or no, if no, they're no. Case closed, you're in prison.
Right. Oh, are you talking about like people who are wrongfully convicted?
Exactly.
Oh, there's some, I actually did not look up, very much wrongful conviction stuff, but there are, I'm against the death penalty, my personally, just because there are a lot of case, there states have put people to death who have later been exonerated.
Right.
Right. So if that's the case, if that can happen, then I don't believe that states should be executing people. There's the Freedom Project.
You're saying like eye for an eye is not a thing anymore?
Well, what I'm saying is our judicial system isn't flawless, right? It is, in fact, it's very flawed. And to trust that system to put someone to death is inherently wrong to me.
Right.
Because I have no trust in the system.
Yeah, I mean, that's, so, you know, live your three sentences in prison, you know. You're going to die in there regardless.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
And I was watching, I think it's called a Killer Speaks or something like that. It's on the front page of Netflix right now.
Right.
And it was a guy who, he went into prison for I think under 10 years was what his original sentence was. He ended up killing someone in prison.
Right.
Assaulting someone in prison, he got 5 years just for, you know, punching a guard. Right. He got 5 extra years. And so he knew he was going to die in prison. So he killed someone so that he could get on death row, because death row inmates in the state he was in, at least,
right,
had it easier.
Yeah, they live pretty.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know.
Well, you know, it's, you know, from whatever perspective. I mean, but
is our end game, like, we're going to die in the end game too, you know?
Right. But, well, for him, and I mean, to me, I was watching and I went, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, if you know you're going to fucking die in prison, then you may as well be comfortable. And if it ends sooner than you thought, you know, whatever. But basically, there's a, what am I thinking? Oh, the Freedom Project is a group that actively provides legal aid to people who are trying to exonerate themselves. And there are a lot of cases that juries will convict on not circumstantial evidence, but eyewitness accounts that aren't valid. I think they're, thing is, if there's no DNA evidence to convict the person, then they go, okay, well, we'll take a look at it. And then if it seems legit, then they'll follow up with the person.
Either way, think about how if you legitimately did not do anything.
Right.
Maybe you didn't do as much or whatever.
Yeah.
Imagine sitting somewhere and I saw, and again, I watched a documentary a couple months ago about a guy, and this was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. This guy in New Orleans had a little bit less than what you could roll a fat joint with.
Oh, right.
Of weed.
Right.
He ended up serving over 18 years of his life for that.
Right. And that's another thing that's led to, I'll read the statistics on drug convictions later, but 3-strike laws.
Yeah.
There's a guy serving life in prison for stealing a lawnmower out of a shed because it was his 3rd strike.
Yeah, but what, I mean, you're telling me you get three felonies.
And then it was it wasn't grand larceny, but it was, I don't know, it was whatever. However they charged him with it.
Right. They tried to go heavy on him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but it was, and.
But then, you know, you have 2 strikes. That's the thing. The odds are against you because you already have 2 strikes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they bring your anti-resume in there.
Right. Well, you know? And what people say to justify it, and it's a completely invalid argument. They go, well, you had 2 chances. Don't do any more crimes. And it's like, okay, but put that aside and go, what part of you thinks that a man should spend the rest of his life in prison for stealing a riding lawnmower?
Right.
They don't think about that part of it.
Right.
And also, I think a lot of people view convicted people, if you're convicted of a crime, well,
yeah, as a someone that got out, is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying like let's just say anyone who's never had to, you know, go to bed hungry,
right,
can't comprehend why someone would go steal from someone, you know, or yeah. sell drugs.
Right, right, right.
They just think, well, you just shouldn't do that.
Get a job.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, go make $8.75 or $8.25 at a fucking fast food place.
If you've ever had one felony, you know that it's yeah. not easy to get a job.
That's another part of it.
Yes.
You can't vote.
Like, it'll just instantly make you institutionalized.
Yeah. Once you're a part of the system, it is inherently difficult to remove yourself from it.
Yeah.
Intentionally so is the problem. It's set up that way. It's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah. We know, I said earlier, like, some of my family was in there. My uncle, Billy, two strikes, right? He did time from 81 on his second time, from 81 to like to 2000.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a fucking hike.
Yeah. That's a weird 20 that's, years to be in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he gets out and he has, you know, I've got a great grandpa, his dad, set him up with everything he needed to get started again.
Right.
You know, this dude gets out, second strike, gets out. Spray paints, literally like the fucking movie Stealing Harvard. Spray right. paints a goddamn gun black.
Oh, right.
He tried. It took him a couple months because all of his friends, you know, 20 years later, they're all either dead or yeah. they're like, dude, we got families now. Right. We're not fuck with you anymore. This dude got out and was like, nah. What he said was, I need to get back in there. Basically, that's what he told my grandpa. He was like, we need to.
Right.
I was like, I can't do this.
Right.
So he fucking spray painted a gun and robbed a fucking convenience store in like a tiny little town.
Yeah.
And just fucking grabbed the money and stood outside with it with his hands up.
Oh, to go back.
To go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's easier way. That's a lot of work.
Right.
I think. I don't know.
I mean, to me, that just is someone who. See, that's the problem is. Prisons are supposed to be a place for rehabilitation. And in a lot of countries, that is the case. You look at Norway, places like that.
Well, if it's for rehabilitation, then, you know, why don't we send everybody that goes to rehab to prison?
Well, I mean, if you think about it in a way, a rehab...
For 30 days.
If you go to a serious rehab, you check in, you give up your phone.
I don't think...
You give up your shoelaces. You give up and you're...
Yeah, I don't think it's that rough.
Checked in. Well, but, I mean... No. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they're upset. But I'm just saying it's not that different. You're disconnecting yourself from society. But rehabs are actually helping people. Whereas the American prison system is a for-profit. Prisons profit off of prisoners. And the people who run the prisons... The corporations that own prisons lobby the U.S. government to make sure that they're going to have full prisons.
Right.
To keep making money.
Right. Never seen a prison that was just like, you know, they get November of the year, like, yeah, we're down this year.
Right.
Same as a church.
The problem with a for-profit prison is that now all of a sudden rehabilitation is not the goal.
No, that has
the goal is to make a profit.
I don't know when that was the goal, though, you know. I think it was to. I think prison or a cell was to detain somebody for a while. I think that was
right.
I don't know how long ago. I don't know the statistics about that.
Well, there was.
I guess we maybe should have looked into that more.
There was a time where I know at least in England, because I read a book about. I can't remember his name, but he was the last executioner, one of the last executioners, hangman. He hung people for right. a living. In England, and basically before there was prisons and a place to send criminals or people convicted of crimes,
right?
If you stole, you would probably just get hung.
Oh, right, yeah,
right. Like that was, and I'm talking about a long, long time ago. You know, I don't know exactly. I can't put an exact date on it, but basically before a prison was a thing, you would either get stoned to death by a mob. Or you would get hung. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was no...
In between.
So, yeah. but it is a more modern concept. Rehabilitation is a modern concept. But it is the right thing to do. And there are places in the world that do it well.
Right. But there's also places that don't.
Right.
Which is a large majority of where people are institutionalized.
Yeah.
So for this episode, I've got a lot of stories that I've from people that were on the inside and have, you know, written about or, you know, whatever, however you want to see it. Some are funny, some are not at all. Some are, but, you know, just to get a realization of how the shit is.
Right.
So the first one that I found was, I was in prison watching the news. The story was on a kid who had stabbed two other kids. I look over and the kid is sitting right next to me. We both shared a brief glance, then went back to eating our Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like, you witnessed some fucking sketchy people.
Yeah, it is. You have to think if someone who, you know, got busted for selling pot.
Yeah.
Now is eating Fruit Loop. And that might not be the case with that guy, but just hypothetically.
Right.
You know, now you're.
He was a hubcap theft.
Right. Right. I stole car stereos. And now I'm sitting next to a guy who stabbed two people. This is my environment now.
That brings me to this little, it's a little short one that somebody wrote. It's called Becoming a Part of That World.
Mm.
And it doesn't say who wrote this or anything, but so it goes, I suppose seeing people getting taken advantage of all the time and then not caring was the worst. New guys coming in, getting ripped off on trades and stuff. People with social developmental issues just getting their food taken from them. Also, the psyche of people without goals, it gets fucking weird.
People without goals, that's fucking heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was worse was just becoming part of that world. There are so many people that have their rights taken away from them on a regular basis and don't care anymore. They choose to place value on being able to make others fear them. They stop thinking about the world beyond the walls and just get wrapped up in the weird culture that the place is. There was a day I was feeling proud of myself. I was running around organizing contraband trades, setting up poker games, owning things like hardcover books. He had a set of dice. I guess he was the only person that had a set of dice around him. In that moment, he had pride, and he realized that he was starting to get into that.
Right.
It's honestly hard to remember the months in there because most of that time, nothing happens. Nothing. You've read until you can't stand it. You've slept all you can. You can't play cards because your celly is sleeping, so you stare at the ceiling and wait. It's so weird to realize that you're doing the equivalent of timeout for months. You're not waiting for 5 minutes, not 5 hours. You're waiting for a day that is months away. Just waiting. Pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically it's a realization. Like, I don't know, anybody can be have the go in there and there's only so much PMA. Or whatever.
Right.
That you could have going into that kind of shit. Dude, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I think, and again, is never having experienced it, I think it's impossible to really understand what that life is like day to day. And I think that's another inherent problem with people is that, like, the general public, it's that same attitude I was talking about earlier. Like, well, they shouldn't have done it if they didn't want to go to jail.
Right, but you imagine the type these days, like, everybody from here to California wants to say that possibly their kid is diagnosed with this and this, or if their kid fucks up, they're mad that the doctor misdiagnosed them with this and this and this.
Right.
Imagine doctors not diagnosing anybody for, you know, generations. Like, right. These people didn't, their parents didn't take them to any fucking doc. Dude,
no.
I mean, there's so many people that's probably on some sort of spectrum.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
You know, just like problems that they can't do.
Right. They call it falling through the cracks.
Yeah. And they're just.
Yeah. I mean, mental health, obviously a huge part of this too. The people who are in prison don't get the mental health care that they need. And people going into prison.
But a guard's not going to be like, hey, something's fishy here. Like, they don't diagnose people in prison.
No,
right?
But there are medical professionals who operate inside the prisons that are supposed to care for the prisoners.
Right.
The tactics used against prisoners in prison by guards and solitary confinement, they've done studies. It is basically the worst thing you can do to a person.
Dude, I have a 2-year-old daughter and, you know, a corner for timeout.
Right.
10 minutes of timeout. You know what that means? Hell.
Yeah.
For about 3 hours. Because you know, it's a grudge. She's holding a grudge against you for three fucking hours over goddamn goldfish.
Yeah. but yeah, solitary confinement, it does permanent damage. Permanent mental damage to people. And it's just, it's still widely accepted. It's, it's.
Yeah, there's people that's been on, I mean, I was looking up one guy that's been, it's been since the 70s, right? And he's one of the high ups in the Aryan, Aryan Brotherhood,
yeah,
or whatever. And he's been in, he gets 1 hour a day out since the 70s.
Yeah, at that point, you just, I can't even imagine.
But the hard, not the hardest part, the weirdest part about that, like that dude somehow is smart enough to still make calls.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, like how? Fucking how?
I don't know. I don't know the logistics, how he would stay involved.
With, yeah.
With the, you know.
It's people. Like you seeing somebody walking by a cell and like, I don't know, you just hear a footstep and you're like, ooh, tell me everything. Like, tell me 6 years of shit.
That's
in 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine. I can't imagine even, you know, I don't even like being at my house for too long, you know?
Yeah, I get a little weird.
So
at your house for too long.
Yeah. Well, you weren't invited. So, but you got to think, just like, I think that feeling, and then you magnify it by 10 million, you know, and yeah, then you just go, how do you, you know, carry on? I don't understand how,
yeah,
how these guys actually come out the other side of it. And some of them do, you know,
right.
But it's always going to fuck them up.
I mean, but also if you don't, you just go back some, you know, somebody that was in the service and, you know, you fucking, right, you see shit, you got to suck it up.
Right.
And you get fucking, I don't know, I wouldn't say mentally abused, but I mean, you saw shit you didn't want to see.
Well, traumatized, yeah.
Yeah,
it's extremely. It's all trauma.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the same thing. It's just, you know, people forget about vets like almost immediately.
Yeah.
If it ain't on the news, they don't care.
No, they all want to put the ribbon on their car, but they don't actually. That's a whole nother thing.
Yo, did I tell you about that?
What was that?
I saw a so I was getting off the interstate one day, and I was in a long line of cars, and it was probably like five, just to give you a time, it was like five stoplights full of cars.
Right.
So I had to go stop like on the ramp that many times.
Right.
And there's a guy out there, and it's the most legit like homeless sign I've ever seen. If he's lying, I mean, he's thought about that. Like somebody could like easily look him up. It was, hi, my name is this, I'm a vet. And he gave his like, platoon and all this stuff,
yeah,
all of his information. And he just said, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
He said, if you have any food, that's great. Or something like that.
Right.
It was last summer. There was a lady in an SUV in front of me. And one of those little stupid fucking decals said, Marine Mom.
Oh yeah.
Like he came up to her window and like I could see her shadow like being like, get the fuck away from my car.
Right, right.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great the way people.
And then he got up to my car and I was like, get the fuck away.
Right. But you didn't have the sticker, so.
No, I gave him some cigarettes.
Right.
That's all I had. I don't have anything else.
Right.
Yeah. You
know. Well, that's something. A smoke is a smoke.
I mean, then, yeah, that's if a smoke is it.
Yeah.
Smoke is it. But you can't do that to people in prison.
No, they can't smoke anymore.
Is that a thing all around now?
Oh, I can't imagine there's any prisons you can still smoke in America, at least.
Why was that such a bad... Like, I feel like that's like legalizing weed out in public. You know what I mean?
Well, you know...
Because I feel like, you know...
It's just another thing. I think it was because it was used as a bartering system. Like, you know, it was like a currency in prison.
Right.
And... You know, I'm sure people used to, I'm sure there was a lot more people starting fires in their cells and shit like that when they had a book of matches. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think,
but you again, know, we're not there. We don't know.
Right. I don't know that for sure. But what I do know is that smoking, you know, if you can't smoke in a Waffle House, you're probably not going to be able to smoke in prison. That's the way I look at it.
That just, everything just like closed in on me when you said that.
The room got smaller.
Holy shit. Yeah. So this isn't about cigarettes. This is about addiction.
Okay.
Kinda.
Hmm.
The craziest thing I've seen is when a new meth user comes in and the other meth addicts will lick any sores they have because some of the chemicals will leak out.
Fuck me.
Yeah, could you imagine get like grown men, fully tattooed human leeches all over you?
Yeah.
That's not what I want.
No. not on any day.
Yeah.
God damn. Just like barnacles. Just like fucking 250-pound barnacles.
They also probably don't even have to ask any questions. If they see those type of wounds, right, they know what they're fucking looking at.
Right. Well, that's like...
So you have a grown prisoner stranger walk up to you and give you a full face hickey.
Yeah.
On your sore.
For just the...
That sounds like going to the skating rink when I was 15.
It can't... Oh, God. It can't actually get you high. Can't, like, I don't...
If you haven't had a single thing in your system in 10 years, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Another one. The craziest shit I saw was an HIV-positive prisoner who put his blood on arrows that were shot at the guards. The bow and arrow were made out of newspapers that were petrified with toilet paper.
Holy shit.
That takes some time.
Yeah. You got to really think that through.
Right.
He's like,
you think the HIV part was part of the plan too? Or they're like, you know what I'm going to do?
I think it was probably more like, well, I have AIDS. How can that work to my advantage?
Or you think they were like, I have this newspaper and petrified toilet paper.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go get HIV.
Right. I don't think that's a chicken or the egg situation. I think he probably had AIDS and developed that plan based on that.
I don't know, man. I think you're thinking too much into it. Here's one, and it's titled, Caffeine is a Hell of a Drug. Because, I mean, just imagine, caffeine's probably it.
Yeah, it's about the best you could do.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a fucking AA class.
Right. Coffee, God, and cigarettes.
Coffee, God, and cigarettes.
Yeah.
And this isn't even in prison. This is in county jail. Talked about in county jail, some of the girls would order coffee from the canteen and snort it.
Like coffee grounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which led to them staying up all night meowing at each other.
I just, you know.
In county.
Oh, God. Just, that was like the little cherry on top.
Yeah, it's like you haven't even got that far.
Right. It's
yeah, that's kind of fucking wild.
Just jumped right to snorting coffee grounds.
Yeah, and they were in there for 8 hours.
Right. I've been here too long. I can't take it.
I can't do this shit, Trisha. I can't.
Like they're still drunk from when they got put
in. Yeah, right. They're still on coffee.
Right.
This is called Severed Ear Goes Flush. The two gay guys... Starts out like that. The two gay guys got into a big argument in the hall at the pill window. Inmate one had been spreading rumors that inmate two had AIDS. This was ruining inmate two's prostitution hustle. They got back into the barracks, and inmate two went in his bunk and got a bundle of sharpened pencils, wrapped them in tape and string, and he attacked inmate one from behind, trying to stab him in the neck. Inmate one realized that something was happening and turned around immediately. The pencils instead ripped his ear off.
He
grabbed his head in shock. Inmate two bent over, grabbed his ear, and flushed it down the toilet.
Shit.
That's not it. Inmate one grabbed metal mop and beat inmate two with it so bad that it bent the metal mop in half. We wore solid white uniforms, and you can imagine the blood spurting everywhere. The only guard on our door was a short, fat woman. She slammed the door shut from the outside and did nothing to stop the fight. Just yelled for help.
If that's your job, you shouldn't have to go, help!
Could you imagine if EMTs did that?
They just show up to, oh my God, someone called 911.
Wait, I am 911. Fuck, help!
Yeah, that wasn't, yeah, that's not great.
Oh, it doesn't say if the person died or not, but.
Well, I think they're both worse off, probably, would be my guess, if they're still alive.
I don't know, maybe she got fired.
Help. You are the help.
Yeah. How well I would do.
Oh, you'd do all right, I think. I don't know.
That's nice and mean.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, it's not a front-handed compliment. It's definitely a... But I just mean... No, I think you'd do all right. I think I would... It would not be good for me at all. I wouldn't do very well.
Why? Why wouldn't you do well?
I just, you know... I'm not a very tough person.
Yeah, you don't have to be tough.
Well, you know, just... I don't know. I haven't been in a fight since eighth grade. You know, I don't know. If push came to shove, I would probably just stay on the ground. I don't... Well, no, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know what I would do in that situation if I was in prison, but I just don't see it going that well for me.
I just don't think you'd be eating any fruit.
What does that mean? Oh, you think they'd steal my fruit cup?
Yeah.
Your
fruit would be taken. Do you get fruit in prison?
Well, depends on what his name is. Those jokes are terrible. I don't know. No, I don't know. Probably not. That's another thing. Prison food is not a very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't claim it.
Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, I could go on and on with these fucking stories, to be honest.
Like, right.
I got way too drunk the other night and looked up.
Just went down the rabbit hole?
Yeah, I looked up a lot of them.
Right.
But just, you know, there's a lot going on in that son of a bitch.
Right.
At all times.
Stories like that just illustrate it's just a result of the environment that these people are put into.
And that's not the craziest shit. Like, that's just, you know, some things that I found.
Right.
You know, there's way crazier.
I personally heard crazier stories than that about people doing time.
Right. You
know? Like, but it is what it is. It's an insane environment.
I saw a dude in county, when I was in county jail, I was playing chess or checkers with this guy. He was like a 40-something year old guy, just playing chess with him. It was his first day there. It was like my first week there. I heard everybody, you know, when lights went off, they were talking to him, and they started like asking him more like questions. And come to find out, like he was like a diddler.
Oh, right.
And like there was like six black dudes just jumped on him immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like reading Fight Club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Still not wanting to be there.
Right.
Yeah, I think if you're a diddler, I think you should probably, I don't know, for your own fucking sake, one, not do it.
Right.
Two, probably let people find out on their own, you know?
Yeah.
They should be like, no, I diddle.
Nope. Kid toucher right here.
Kid toucher. Hey. Yeah.
Hey, guilty as charged. Hey,
where's the party at over here? Huh?
What's up?
Yeah, I don't think that's the...
That's not the move.
I don't know how that works. I forgot exactly what he said, but he was like... And it had to do with his wife and his daughter. Like, that was the whole story. So it was like his own kid.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but it took maybe 40 seconds for shit to pop off.
Yeah.
And then it lasted like 5 minutes because it was in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there reading a book that I can't pay attention to shit that long.
No.
And I'm just acting like I'm reading a book. And then I actually ended up reading the book.
Right.
Out of nervousness.
Is that what it takes for you to read a book?
I think
it's for
so,
someone to get violently assaulted.
Yeah. I
next to you.
I fake went over a page. Each page, like 100 times.
Oh yeah, where you just you finish the page and you go like, no, I didn't.
Yeah, because it started to get into a white thing, and I was like, okay, I'm good.
Not I, sir.
No, because the first thing, six of them, kill him.
Right.
And then they started popping off at the throwing the W.
Right.
The W. What is it?
You mean white boy? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. They turned it into a... Which, to be on their side, more diddlers are white dudes.
Yeah, probably statistically.
Yeah. I mean, any Warner Brothers movie, any movie I've seen, they're all diddlers.
Mystic River.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah. No, they really are. Like, I'll name one famously known black diddler.
Well, the guy who did... I'm pretty sure the guy who did the Atlanta child murders was black guy, but that's the only one I can think of.
And now, could you probably put a face to about 20? Yeah. So, you know, they got a point.
Right.
So I just fake read a book.
Well, that's, you know, you got to get through it. You got to get through it.
I can't be like, hey, wait, guys, wait. Yes, him, not right. us.
No, not I. Not I, sir.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No. That's not a moment you want to start to argue for yourself.
just to hit them with a to be fair right. on his behalf. All right, guys, to be fair.
Guys, you don't know the whole story. I think you did the right thing. Shut the fuck up and read your book.
So, yeah, I know how it ends.
Right.
And, yes, I saw the movie first.
They're the same person. What the fuck?
So is his wife and his daughter.
Oh.
That's not true. Elliot, what'd you find for us about this episode? Yeah, that was fucked. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
So I found, I was looking at a website called thesentencingproject.org, statistics page about criminal justice, specifically in the United States.
Right.
And it just starts with this. The United States is the world's leader in incarceration. There are 2.2 million people in the nation's prisons and jails. A 500%.
Wait, hold on. How much?
2.2 million.
In the United States?
In the U.S., in jails and prisons.
Okay.
There's 2.2 million. This is a 500% increase over the last 40 years. Changes in law and policy, not changes in crime rates, explain most of this increase. The results are overcrowding in prisons and fiscal burdens on states, despite increasing evidence that large-scale incarceration is not an effective means of achieving public safety. So,
well, I mean, yeah.
So the only country that comes close to...
By the way, we're watching stuff about death row right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the only difference in this guy's jumpsuit and the other dude's jumpsuits is the back of it. When he turns around, somebody wrote with a marker sideways because they can't go like that. And it says death row. I mean, you might as well just give him a fucking clown onesie.
Right. Why do they have to write death row on the back of it?
I would actually rather have a clown onesie and like a nose to walk down death row, I believe.
He is wearing some killer shades, though. He's got on some like fucking Oakleys.
Yeah, it's got one capital A in the middle.
How do you, can you just get sunglasses in prison? Is that, look, he's wearing them inside.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Is he blind? Oh, I feel bad if he's blind.
Well, his hands are tied behind his back, buddy.
Well, yeah, he's not using the stick or anything.
So. Also, I'm pretty sure this dude just got his diabetic shot.
Oh, his insulin?
He got his insulin on his way to death row.
Yeah, well, death by chocolate. What?
That's so wild.
Oh, everyone's wearing green beanies.
No, everybody looks good. Everybody looks like Jabberwockies. You remember that? Like that whole dance show? Yes,
yeah, I do remember the Jabberwockies.
Yeah, everybody's like in sync and like, well, they have to be, but.
Right. They have to walk places at the same time.
Yeah.
So the only country that comes close to us, and they are pretty close, is El Salvador. But again, it's a much smaller country.
With
So this is rates of incarceration per 100,000 people. And the U.S., for every 100,000 people, there's 655
incarcerated.
El Salvador is 618. Third place is Rwanda with 464. Then Russia has 383.
I thought that was a fake place.
Rwanda?
Yeah, I thought those were Black Panthers.
No, that's Wakanda.
Oh.
That's a whole different episode. We'll get to it.
No, I'm kidding. No, what was the third one?
Rwanda was the third, and then fourth is Russia with 383
per
100,000 people. Okay, and then so just
in Russia they just didn't get caught. That's
so to give it some perspective, China, it's the number is 118.
That's what?
Canada, the number is 114.
In China as a whole continent. Is that what you're saying?
The country China.
The country.
Yeah.
Which holds like half of the population of
well, it's the most populous country there is. I think maybe Russia's more. I can't remember. But yes, they have a lot more people in China than we do.
That's wild.
There's another chart that we can look at.
What is it, 143 people per 100,000.
Right.
And they have billions.
Yeah, I don't know if it's billions, but I think it's, yeah, look up the population of China.
Yeah, China has 1.4 billion people.
Right. Right. The U.S. has, I think, 300 or 400 million.
Yes.
And China is famously not easy on criminals either. Oh,
you don't say.
Yeah.
So do you think it's not that they're not getting convicted, they're just not surviving?
No, I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't know a whole lot about the Chinese prison system, but I mean, it just goes to illustrate the prisons are, I don't believe, for-profit prisons in these countries that those numbers are lower. I think they are still nationalized, or the states or whatever provinces run them.
Right.
The prison population in 1984.
And where?
In America.
In America.
We're back in America for the rest of this.
Oh, are we?
More or less. But so in 1984, there were 443,398 people incarcerated.
And what was our population then? I mean, that was a crazy turn. Like that was probably
right. Well, half it goes of what back it
is now. Yeah,
it goes back to that first statistic where it's gone up in the last 40 years. It's been a 500% increase, and the population has not increased.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? It's not, and as we say now, 2011. Well, we'll do 16. 458,173 people.
And rising.
Right. Well, it did. That is down from 2011. It's down about 100,000 from 2011. What? But they talk about why this is happening. And the truth of the matter is, the reason why it's happening is because of the 13th Amendment.
You're talking about the rise?
Why our prisons have just become fuller and fuller, and why we're building more prisons, why America incarcerates so many people.
Right.
And it's the 13th Amendment.
Okay.
Which was ratified in 1865. And the 13th Amendment reads, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction." So what it's saying is, slavery is not a thing in the U.S.
Right.
Or any of its territories, unless the person has been duly convicted of a crime. Any crime. Doesn't matter how severe. So what that established is a replacement for the void that slavery left.
So if you fucked up, you're a slave.
Which is more or less, prisoners make pennies an hour.
Right.
To do the jobs they do. And you have to have a job in prison.
Yeah.
You don't just get to sit in your cell. You have to go to work. Or you can go to the hole, which we talked about.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing. You know, people see prisoners on TV and they're interviewing them and they got a little television in their cell. And they're like, oh, they have it so easy.
Yeah, that dude worked for 3 years for the television.
Right.
Like a little tiny see-through television.
So really, and I would suggest that anybody, I read it years ago, but it's a book called The New Jim Crow, and it's all about the 13th Amendment and the disproportionate, we'll get into some of the statistics about people of color and how they're disproportionately arrested.
Yeah.
And convicted, given longer sentences.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
And basically,
it's well known.
It's the new slavery. Incarcerated individuals are effectively slaves. The way that this happened, a big part of it was the war on drugs, which they talk about a little bit.
Right.
The number of people incarcerated for drug offenses in the U.S. skyrocketed from 40,900 in 1980 to 452,964 in 2017.
Yeah, and that was drug related.
That's only drug related offenses.
Jesus Christ! Like, I've also wondered, like, Dude, if you're doing years and years for fucking weed, and you see, I mean, this has been a thing for, you know, I think the same documentary I watched about the dude that had a joint and did years.
Right.
And, you know, the guy's, you know, he gets out, and obviously he knows about all this stuff. You know, you're not dumb on the inside.
Right.
But he was like, yeah, this white man is doing what I did for money in California.
Right.
You know?
It is
exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. And so another part of this, the reason why there's so many people currently in prison or jail, is we started sending people to prison for much longer terms. So in 1984... there was 34,000 people serving a life sentence. In 2016, there's 161,957.
Yeah. Like, who was the person to be like, all right, a life... basically, if you were doing, you know, quote-unquote life, it's like, all right, you will get out when you are 84 years old.
Right. Well, and technically, life sentences, I think in some states, if you get sentenced to... it's when you hear someone got sentenced to three life sentences in jail.
Yeah.
It's because a life sentence in some states is 20 or 25 years.
Yeah. 25 to life.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Even somebody 30 years old, just giving somebody no hope ever.
Right.
You know, and no death penalty or anything.
No.
I don't know. Like the dude sitting there has three life sentences. Or if you told him, hey, you'll get out when you're 85 years old if you're alive. It's like, you might get out.
Right. Well, again, that goes back to rehabilitation. If you're choosing to rehabilitate people and put them back into society.
Right. I mean, people do get out before their term's up all the time.
Right. Know? People get paroled, and you know, but it is set up in a way to keep a virtually free workforce.
Right. For the dumbest shit.
Right. There are a girl I used to work with. Her dad was serving time, and he was on his best fucking behavior, and his reward was he got sent to a prison farm. So he got to work,
like,
he got to go work the farm.
Right.
And it's low security, I guess, you know.
I mean, you're outside, I guess that's tight.
But that was his reward for good behavior, is he got to go do manual labor for pennies an hour.
Yeah. With a gun pointed at you the whole time.
Right.
Sounds sick. I mean, you know.
This one, it sums it up pretty well. Mass incarceration has not touched all communities equally.
No. No.
So, here's lifetime likelihood of imprisonment for U.S. residents born in 2001. So, if you're born in 2001, this is how likely you are
To be
imprisoned in your lifetime. Shit. Okay? For all men, it's a 1 in 9 chance. For every man in the country, it's a 1 in 9 chance you'll go to prison.
Whoa.
For white men, it's a 1 in 17 chance. For black men, it's a 1 in 3 chance.
Wow.
That you will spend time in prison in your life. Latino men, 1 in 6 chance. Women, 1 in 56 chance. White women, 1 in 111 chance. Black women, 1 in 18 chance.
What? Wait, white women, what?
So, one in white women,
101.
One out of 111 white women would presumably go to jail.
And the rest gets the pity.
And 1 out of every 18 black women.
Yeah.
So.
What?
So. This is why people call it the new Jim Crow.
Right.
Because it's just another form of... And make no mistake about it, it is the system that causes those statistics.
Yeah.
Because, well, let's see here. Overall, African Americans are more likely than white Americans to be arrested in the first place. Once arrested, they are more likely to be convicted. And once convicted, they are more likely to face stiff sentences.
That's
the system doing that.
Yeah. If somebody doesn't know that by now.
Right.
You know.
But this is happening in our country right now, and you're never going to see a politician campaigning on prison reform, or it might be a small part of their policy, you know, that they put forth to people.
Right.
But it is a national embarrassment what is happening.
Dude, those statistics are fucking stupid.
It's staggering, right?
Yeah.
And it's, the cards are stacked against you. Like, just again, 1 in 17 chance, if you're a white man,
yeah,
to go to prison in your lifetime. 1 in 3 chance if you're a black man.
Jesus Christ.
And again, it's top to bottom. And people have, if this is something that, if you're hearing this and it upsets you, again, go read The New Jim Crow. Go, there are people who speak much more eloquently about it, yeah, than I can. And also, so we put the human cost aside for a second, which is devastating.
Yeah.
And monumental. And just, as a result, the excessive sentencing practices in the U.S. are largely counterproductive and extremely costly. So, for all states, I believe this is what it, it's counting all states in the U.S., all 50. In 1985, $6.7 billion was spent on corrections, maintaining prisons.
In 1985.
In 2017, it was $59.8 billion. So, people are, the good part is there are, I guess there are people making changes.
It's going to take a long time to change any of that, because that's just the way it is.
Well, yeah.
And that sucks. Right.
And again, the racial discrepancies are something that goes beyond any politician or anything. That's us as a society that has to choose to fight that.
Right.
You know.
Even correctional officers, like how do you work there, like how do you do that every day and not think about that? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, I mean,
you're not a fucking probation officer at that point. Like you're right, seeing the same dudes in prison while, you know, you work fucking 10 hours and you go home.
Yeah.
And these dudes live there. Mm-hmm. Like that's rough.
And it goes back to that vicious cycle of guards will treat these guys like animals, and then get surprised when they act like an right, animal. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
on the flip side, I have seen some stories of where guards, like, I mean, not necessarily in prison, but like in county, like they'll slip the inmates like newspapers. And well, shit,
nothing's black and white.
You know,
as far like as
you know, they'll give them the scores of the games and stuff. But you right, know, that's not. Does that help you that you're here?
Right.
No.
No, but I mean, it is showing kindness. I'm not saying no corrections officer can ever, you know, is incapable of being kind
right,
to a prisoner. But in general, it is not, when you think about power dynamics.
Right.
Right.
But now, yeah.
Like any relationship where you have that much control over someone.
Right.
And they all say like, well, it's me and 100 guys.
Right.
And I got to say, it's like, no, you fucking hit a button and everything locks down. And then, you know, every other yeah, guard in the prison yeah, runs but, in.
I mean, that like, goes back to like, I mean, you got some dudes that's like, hey, swing, you know, shoot on sight.
Right.
And then you got that lady that was at the front of that door.
Help.
Shut it. And just like, help.
Well, that's another thing that I
what we don't know is she was there for 20 years.
Corrections officers do not make a lot of money.
Neither do teachers.
Which so is another
shut
thing.
Shut the fuck up.
No. I'm saying you're not attracting the best people to that job.
Right. I mean, because nobody fucking wants it.
Right. It's just like anything else. You know, if you're getting paid $35,000 a year, you're probably going to take out some aggression on some dudes.
Well, I'm saying if there was a prison in Gaston County, this county, $35,000 a year, you'd have the best fucking prison in the goddamn world.
If the guards got paid that?
Yes. I mean, that and Gaston County money?
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes like, further here.
Dude, but it goes way further.
And again, I don't know that the statistics exact. I mean, I don't know what the average pay for a prison guard is. You know, it's not. I mean, it's the same reason anybody becomes a fucking cop or anything. It's to have power over someone.
Right.
That's the only reason someone becomes a police officer. Nobody becomes a police officer to help people. That's fucking bullshit. Same thing with a corrections officer.
Yeah,
except
to help.
Except they were probably too shitty to be cops. So then they had to go be a corrections officer.
He's like, hey, yeah, what's up? My name's Brad. I'm a, you know, I work at Food Lion. I'm a part-time cop.
Right.
16 an hour. Can't really beat it. Like, are cops hourly?
Yeah, they get overtime. Yeah, cops get overtime. Big time.
Cops are how much does a cop make hourly?
I don't know. If you're detectives, make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, but
especially if you get into overtime and stuff.
That's wild to me.
And yeah, and also you've told me about the guys who used to. What was the place you bounced? That you worked the door. You were telling me about how the cops would be on duty.
Oh yeah, dude. They'd come in and you know they just sit on the street in their car just for presence.
Right.
And they'd collect a fucking check from the place, right. And all the cops doing is just hitting on checks all night.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a fucking $200 check at the end of the night,
right.
To him personally, like not on any payroll or anything,
right? Like, and really, that's where this all stems from. Because the first line of that thing about how black people are more likely to be arrested, because if you're not arrested, you don't go to jail.
Yeah,
that's, you know what I mean. That's right. That's where it starts.
There's not like a graduation program,
right? It starts at that ground level of uniformed officers making the decision to arrest these people. But then once they're in the system, it takes over and its bias takes over as well.
Yeah.
And again, our prisons aren't meant to rehabilitate people.
Oh, no. You're going to turn into a fucking wild person.
Right.
Because, I mean, how many people go into prison saying, dude, I didn't do it?
Right.
Or like, you know, probably have some kind of a chip on their shoulder about like, no, I'll get out.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And then it ends up not happening and everybody goes fucking crazy. Actually, if you were to go to prison, Elliot, what would it be for?
Unpaid parking tickets, probably.
Yeah.
No, I'm a responsible parker. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would go to jail for. Drug possession. We're being realistic.
Yeah. Probably assault for me, maybe.
No.
Like a drunken assault. Not just like a mean meh.
No. Well,
if you get caught. Here's the thing. Don't get caught.
Yeah, don't get caught.
Don't get caught. Fuck cops. You're innocent.
Right.
And fuck the government.
Yeah. We could have just got on here and been like, hey, what's up, guys? Hey, fuck 12. Fuck the government. Later.
To sum this episode up, Elliot, what do you say?
I say we only scratched the surface.
No, yeah, 100%. We kind of just went, you know, had some stories.
I mean, I think we accomplished what we set out to. I think we talked about everything we wanted to talk about. But I just mean these problems go so much deeper. And there are thousands of stories you can look up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of people who lived it. And
also, jail goes deeper than the mass murderers that you see on your fucking Netflix
right.
documentaries. Yeah. You know, like there's fucking innocent people sitting in there,
right?
Or people that should not be doing the time they're doing.
Right. The human cost of our prison system is way too high, and I don't feel hopeful that it'll change anytime soon.
Nah.
But if people keep talking about it and voting for people who care about it, then, you know, maybe something will change. But until then, just read shit, watch shit, and be aware of what's going on.
If you fuck shit up, don't get caught.
Yeah, that too.
Because that's half of it, you know?
Yeah.
Just, that's why Russia's statistics are so low.
Well, yeah, everybody's too cold to...
Care?
To care, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Law enforcement's too scared in Russia to do anything. That's not true at all. This is pretty rough over there.
Yeah, I've seen some. Oh, Russian videos are the best.
Yeah, Russian videos are the best.
Yeah, any Russian video.
This was a different episode again.
Yeah.
You know, straying from the path, as we usually are.
Right, we've been mixing it up lately.
Been mixing it up.
It's been nice.
Don't watch the news. How about that?
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, I've been laying off the news.
No, lately. Get your information from somewhere else. Dude, the thing that I think I showed you today, the bitch with the fucking saying the corona, the social distancing is a fucking, is communism.
Oh, yeah. Now it's, and Trump is tweeting, liberate these states. And they're all states with Democratic governors. And he's attacking these states for staying closed.
God damn
which,
it.
Which goes against his direct guidelines for state closures. The White House released, his administration released guidelines for what the states should ideally do.
Yeah.
These states are following those guidelines and staying closed.
I can't do that.
And he's attacking them, saying liberate, I think, I can't remember what states it is, but it's astonishing, you know?
Yeah, I looked in, like, it's like, but they, yeah, he, why?
Well,
and he also, you know, he's got that button. He pushes it, and half the nation is gonna, yeah.
Well, yeah, he forced them, the Treasury, whoever is sending out the paper checks. You know, not everybody's getting a direct deposit.
Right.
A lot of people are going to get a check in the mail.
Right.
A $1,200 check from the federal government. He forced the Treasury or whatever department issued those checks to put his signature on the checks.
For no goddamn reason.
It's not his money. It's the American people's money. Congress is the one. He signed it or whatever, but Congress is the one who agreed on the $1,200. And you know what I mean? And he's...
Yeah, well, you got. Let's not get into that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that's a whole nother.
Yeah, that's 2 hours. Whole nother thing. That's a whole. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're getting more political now, so maybe we can finally have that episode.
Okay, but let's not get.
I want to do it so bad.
I want to do it so bad.
All right.
You'll just get a bunch of uh-huhs and yes for me. That's about it.
Yeah, I'll just do a solo episode where I just rant about Trump for.
If you enjoy this episode, which is really unlike any other episode we did.
Yeah, I think it's very, very different.
Very different. Yeah, you could listen to all the rest of our episodes if you are not familiar with us on Apple, Spotify, anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Bad Seed Podcast. You can support the podcast by going to our anchor.fm page and clicking the support button, which will allow you to donate. And help us continue doing what we're doing, which will be really goddamn tight, right?
Yeah, that would be outstanding.
Because that's kind of our goal.
And if you liked this episode, this episode was a lot more serious. But if you liked it, let us know, and we can cover some other stuff that's going on.
Right. You know? I will wash my ass with government money. Watch me, because I know I'm paying it back. But hide and watch if I don't. Buy a fucking Dale Earnhardt 1995 vintage t-shirt on eBay with that goddamn money. I'm in a bid for it. Anyways.
Oh, you're bidding on it.
That's exciting. Don't worry about me, man.
I'm the one bidding against you.
I thought so. Yeah, it's an XL.
I'm just seeing who okay. Oh, good. So we did end on a fat joke. All right, great. You've been skinny for 2 months, you fucking asshole. All right,
thanks for listening. We'll see you later.